All right. Good evening. Well, we're further out today, but we're trying to have a good fellowship together. See how that goes. How is it going this far with what we've been discussing so far? Is it good?
Best.
Challenging? So I want to start by saying that the reason we focus so much on what the father does or the mother does or the parent does for that matter is that you're the older one and you're forming the young one. You follow that? And the young one has a lot of other things that they can do to throw you aside, but if you're well equipped, you know what tool to use. Am I making sense? I'm not saying the young ones don't have issues. They have issues. But I can't fix them because they're not here. I can only talk to you, and you're the only ones that can figure out how to deal with that. Does that make sense? So we're going to go ahead and cover something today that maybe actually, it's not hard, but you have to work at it. It takes time to get there. It's not the easiest, but we can get there. Part five, is that where we are today? Last week we did part five, part four, is that right? What did we talk about last week? I left you guys somewhere. What movie?
The girl
with
the playing the board
game. Yeah. That was self-esteem. So that's, we talked a lot about that. You can do self-esteem for the rest of your life. Even when they are 18 and over, they still need self-esteem. All right? So you can always do that, and you can use it for yourself. If you have a good self-esteem, you can also help them. So keep going with that. Now, today we're talking about meeting the needs of empathy and validation of feelings. Empathy and validation of feelings. That can be tough, especially when they're acting out the wrong way. You follow that? So that can be tough, but we got to learn how to do this. Definition of empathy. Empathy is often characterized as ability to put oneself into another's shoes or to do so, or to in some way experience the outlook or emotion of another being within oneself, a sort of emotional resonance. Empathy is also a concept for recognizing as regarding another person's. What is that again? Completeness, is that right? Completely. Translating each movement into understandable conversation. Okay, so children can be quite challenging to deal with. There's a lot of space up front. You can come and sit over here. They can be challenging to deal with, but do you realize that that can stop you from being able to empathize, because it's just challenging. And after a while, without knowing, you react from, it's like there's a dance you have with that child. They do this, you do this. So you never have a chance to really know what's going on with this child. Because you're also, when you're frustrated, you tend to do what your mom did to you, or your dad did to you, or your uncle did to you, and all that. So that dance that's happening. So to parent effectively, you got to be conscious of what you're doing and what's going on between you and the child. Be conscious. Make sure you're very conscious about that what's going on between you, the child, and what's happening. It helps you to not repeat the same. If you keep shouting, they know you're going to shout. By the second shout, they tune you out. They kind of figured the routine here. Kids are very intuitive in that sense. They know that this is how it plays out. And whether they do that as a manipulative game or not, I don't know for sure. That maybe that's just a human tendency. You get conditioned to certain things. So don't condition them to not listen to you. Listen to them and help them to start listening to you. What life traps can be produced if you don't do that? If you don't do what we just talked about? When we don't meet the need of empathy or the need for validation of feelings, we can produce a life trap of social isolation. The child doesn't feel listened to, so they isolate a lot. They don't fit. They're never fitting because they never feel understood. They tend to isolate. The child that is always forced into stuff tends to isolate a lot. Unrelenting standards. Then what happens without you knowing is that because you're not empathizing and validating, you're always calling the child higher, 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 higher. And after a while, you forget that you've never actually validated what they do well. You just correct and correct and correct. So this child has unrelenting standards. How many of us have worked in a salesmanship job? When you meet the goal, what happens? Then you meet the goal? Do you see why not many people stay at that place? It's a transitional job. You work there for a while and... Yeah, and you can parent like that. They get here, you raise it. You get here, not like that. And you keep raising the standard and you never validate that there's some progress being done. You don't ever work with that. So unrelenting standards happen. Punitiveness. We can be punitive. We correct every little thing. We don't realize that we are resenting them. There's a lot of triggers the kids are putting in the system. So you're correcting every little thing. Stop this, stop that, stop that. When they're younger, you got how many things you're going to stop. Not too many. As they grow, figure out what are the things you're going to fight over. Figure out those things. Because as human beings, they cannot exactly be what you want them to be. They're going to have some corners. So figure out what environment you want in the house. So it's not punitive. It can also produce entitlement. Because they're dealt with in such a harsh way, they also can turn around that way. Or just don't care. Because they've been dealt with, so change, they don't care anymore. So they become entitled. As we discussed that previously, we've discussed that as well. And emotional deprivation. They don't feel. They don't care. So they also don't feel for you. They can't connect to emotions anymore because they've tried for so long and they never meet the standard. Why try? So sometimes you wonder, why is this child like that? Well, look at the dynamics you're putting in as you're going forward. Because you're molding this child. You're the one molding. So it's a lot of work, I know. Because none of us was given that for the most part. So we have to start being the grandfathers and grandmothers to change these dynamics. Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. That if you raise them like that, to do to them the way you'd like them do to you. Treat them nice and they should treat you the same way. Teach them that. Very early on that, I listen to you, please listen to me. Teach that this is going to be a two-way relationship. That I speak to you, I need you to speak to me and look at me and have a conversation. Teach them early. Jesus taught us to treat others the way we wish they would treat us. This not only involves compassion, but also empathy. Empathy is a step before showing compassion. Why do you think that's true? That is a step before you show compassion. Why do you have to have empathy before you show compassion?
You have to understand how it makes the other person feel.
You have to understand. But do we take time to understand our children for the most part? We have a set out rule. You got to behave like this, be like that, right? What you have to understand is that why are children a blessing? Yes.
Some people try and they don't have them.
Try and don't have them? Okay, that's the easy one. Yes.
They teach you patience.
Yes. They teach you what? To reflect upon yourself. That's the biggest thing with children. They teach you to reflect upon yourself. Because you're like, what happened here? And in your life a lot, if you don't figure that out, they can make you go, you can go crazy. I kid you not, the kids can get you crazy. So you have to reflect upon yourself so that you can engage on a real point of view and direct issues. Yes.
Helps you feel about how God feels about us.
See that? Because we're all crazy doing our own things and God still loves us. And it's hard to love children that are there. But you got to love them. They're quite ahead. You got to love this one. Yeah.
You can mold them.
And sometimes they're just not listening. They're rebelling, not doing anything you tell them. And it helps you to think about, how am I delivering? How am I talking to this child? What's happening here? Because it's very easy as a parent to assume I'm right. And the child wants to be listened to. You're right, that's not the question, but are you helping the child come along? The question is, we know you are, but are you helping them? And these small people are becoming more intelligent than you and I were. They tend to know a lot nowadays. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the food we're giving them. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, compassion. It's about knowing how to have the other persons feel. Once we know how they feel, the compassion becomes easier. If you can figure out how your child is feeling, it will be easier for you to parent them and show compassion. Take some time to figure out, how do they feel? What's going on? And teach them that conversation and see what happens. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children. You will crush their spirit. I think one of the mistakes we can make as parents is to crush the spirit of a child. Right. We like to use the terminology, I want to crush their will. That will is what they'll need to live in this world. Because this world is challenging. You need a will to survive. What you want to do is to channel it and get the channeled in the right way. If you break that, what do they have to live on? You don't want a child, you put fire in their feet to move anywhere. They can't just move on their own. You have to put fire. You want the one that has a will to, I got to go somewhere. I need to do something, right? So don't break the will, channel it. And you can only do that when you understand what's going on. They're not a horse. Okay? They're souls, they're human beings. You got to help them use that will to live well. Don't break it. If you break a child's will, what do they have to live on when they're older? Now, I know we come from, but when you break the will, how will they survive? Because you're basically, you got to figure out, why do they behave like this and try to drive that. Is that making sense? Any questions around that? Moving on. Let's watch this and see what happens. This child, for the purpose that he has some challenges, but for now, the parents don't know that. Can we play? Oh, they're trying to figure it out over there, so. As you watch, look out for empathy, compassion, and see if it'll happen. Okay. They'll come back to it. The story of the child is, he has some challenges in reading and stuff. The parents don't know that, so they just attack the child and talk to the child and don't figure out about his emotion. And he has an older brother that is very brilliant. So they compare a lot sometimes without knowing it. They ask questions about that. And as you'll watch, we'll try to play a lot of that. So one of the things is that in your home, you'll tend to have one child that is easy. Easy because they tend to walk with you. And there's one child that is not necessarily going to walk with you all the time. Let's understand family dynamics here as this is going on. In every family, you have a child that is fusing and a child that is rebelling to family values. The child that is fusing is easier because they come along to everything. They tend to be the first child sometimes. The child that is second or third tends to be not fusing to the values, and they tend to have their own mind and brain just running a different world. So with that child, you're going to have more challenges because they don't tend to say yes to you all the time. Am I making sense? So if then that's the case, you got to figure out how do you raise a fusing child, because the fusing child, the problem with the fusing child that they can get very depressed and used and very in the older age. They don't fit, they don't feel like they fit in place because they had such a special relationship with you. So when they're in a new place, it's hard for them. You got to raise them to prepare for that. The guy that doesn't fit, that guy can live anywhere. But you got to watch out because it's the easiest to get into the wrong company and stuff like that. It's not playing. You don't play. You want to take this and try some more? Yeah. Say hello to your neighbor since the technician is here now. We'll just continue. When they figure it out, we'll come right back. Okay. Sorry, thanks, man. It is this one. Let's try and see. Yeah. Let's see. So we'll keep rolling with this. They'll trying to figure it out. Can I go forward? I'll come back to this later. Okay, here we go. So did I make sense about the two children, the one that is fusing and the one that is rebelling? In every home, those children exist. There's one that fuses to the family values. They are great, they are close, but the child like that can be used and destroyed. So you have to help that child with personality to survive when they're older. The child that is not fusing is always rebelling, going another world, never listening to you. That is a different child, and you got to raise them for who they are and not fight them with them all the time. That child can survive anywhere, but the problem with that child, he can get abused with anyone that takes advantage for not having a connection with you will take over. Does that make sense? So when you understand that, and even if you watch movies and you see these personalities that are doing what, you can see their family life. You say, yeah, I could see this was going to happen. So understand that. So not listening to the child, assuming the worst. Sometimes you have a child like that. How many of us grew up with the terminology black sheep in the family? It's not right. It's just the child that doesn't fuse. There's no black sheep. It's just the child that does not fuse. Because when you black sheep the person, you're never going to give them your heart. But if you realize they just don't fuse, how do you raise them? Because they still carry your blood. They still carry your lineage. You got to give them your heart. And we had the black sheep, white sheep, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. The point I'm trying to put across is this. That thinking is very destructive to the child that gets that label. Because that child never gets love, empathy, and all that. And so they never belong, and they're always struggling to. Now, depending on the temperament, they can really survive. But they always don't do that. Okay, so children don't feel listened to. So it's important to listen to the one that's giving you the most challenge. It may be easier to listen to the other one. And they may be watching you and say, how come you listen to them? Then you're going to say to them, but you don't listen to me. It doesn't work like that. You're the father and mother, so you work it out. Think about it. If you are pouring out your heart to a friend about the really bad day with your boss, how would you feel if the friend judged you, denied your feelings, gave you advice, or tried to psychoanalyze you? How would you feel? So when the children come from school, what do you tell them? How was your day? And they start telling you about this boy, this girl, this teacher. What do you do? I hope you listen. You don't give advice. Psychoanalyze. We sometimes do that, don't we? We sometimes do that. Let me see if they're trying to get me or what's going on. It's not working. Are we good? Okay. So the whole point is When they come home and they're giving you all these stories, pay attention. But the dance is such that they start talking, you already have answers set up. So you're just giving it. You're not listening. You're not really listening and feeling the heart of the child. And so the disconnection starts there. All right? And that explains why in today's world, the people that prey on our children, they're masters of listening. They can look at a girl like this and say, I can get this girl by just listening. Or I can get this boy by just listening. I'm getting signals from there, so don't worry if I keep doing this. We go back. Yeah, we can play it. Okay, let's play it. Well, some days things don't work well. Anyway, I'll keep talking until it starts playing. So, yeah, essentially that's what I would want to encourage. And let me say this as well. It's not always easy to listen to people you are always with all the time. You kind of have a voice for them, and it's like the normal radio, normal TV, same song. You have to really be interested. It has to be, you have to want to, because they also have doing a lot of wrong things to you. So, okay, we can go. I'm happy. Okay, let me go. Back there. Volume. It's gonna come.
Haven't you taught him how to
Karnak,
play? And look what he's done to my son. He's bruised and bleeding.
Mrs. Karnak.
What, Mrs. Karnak, Mrs. Karnak? Is this how you raise your kids? To beat up other kids? You should be ashamed of yourself. Look at the state of my poor kids.
Ishan! Come here. Come here right now.
But Papa...
Shut up, Johan!
Mr. Rusty, you into my shirt!
Don't worry.
You liar! Look, he's against it!
Ishan, leave him!
Stop it!
You leave!
I've called my husband now!
You leave, Mrs. Karnak!
I've called the court also! Now you're waiting for...
Ishan! This is the limit! Every day there are complaints. Complaints from the school, complaints from the neighbors. Everywhere we go there are complaints. If I hear one more word against you, Ishan... Sorry. Laughing? You're laughing, shameless. Did you see that? One more complaint. One more complaint, Ishan, and I'll pack you off to a boarding school. Just see how he's behaving. He has no respect for us. He attacks the boy right in front of our eyes and rips his shirt. Go on, spoil him.
Okay. What's your observation? Compassion, empathy, spoiling? What's happening? What? Worse, remember the child that was complaining inside that house? Beat him, that's why you see all that head blood. That was the boy that hit him like that. But he tore him down and the size is different. Yes. She was trying to go there. The mother was trying to listen. Yes, Tammy. So they didn't ask what happened. Why do you think that happened? Why do you think they could not ask that question? How, what did you pick when the father started talking? He does that a lot. Yes? That's it. But he's been doing that. Shani, there's all his complaints about you. He lectured him and told him, one more and I'm out. Is that the child that is fusing or rebelling from the family values? So you have that child in your house. They don't seem to fuse to your stuff. If you keep doing that dance, you're not going to win. You see, he's laughing because they're not connecting. They're not getting to the real issue. We'll see why he's behaving like that. He's not laughing because he's delinquent. We're not getting to the real issues. You follow that? I talked about this already. See, handout, denial of feelings. I think you can look, you'll see these things in your books if you read. Denial of feelings. If you look at the dad, was he denying the feelings of the child? He wasn't paying attention to that. A lot of advice, right? Questions, taking sides. Did he take sides? Before ever asking the child what happened, was there pity or he was sarcastic about it? And helpless. So he didn't give helpful listening. That's what the dad wasn't going the right direction. So it wasn't working well. No, we don't want that. We want someone to listen, to show empathy. If you listen to your child, you'll get a lot of things done. Listening is not doing what they want you to do. It's at least listen so that you can help them come along. Does that make sense? So listening does not mean you're giving into everything, but at least you're listening. Here's the issue. Some kids can now keep talking to kind of just keep going. You need to figure when that's happening. See, I've already listened to that. Now it's your time to listen now. Does that make sense? And cut the boundaries. Make the boundaries very clear. We've talked. We got to move on. Now think about your communication with your kids. Don't we do the same thing to our children? Do you think we sometimes just lash out at them? Who let the light on? Who did what? And just on and on and on and on. Even in the area of studies, learn to accept your children for their God-given strengths and weakness. What about education? What are we trying to raise our kids to be? What? Productive citizens. Geniuses. Everybody must come home with an A. Okay, here's the problem. In our society today, you meet someone, what do they ask you? What do you do? I'm like, before what I do, who am I? They don't ask, who are you? No, what do you do? And they make an opinion out of that. And so that is the driving problem with our parents. We're like, you got to be a pilot. You got to be this. People make money out of very interesting jobs. A lot of good money. And some make money without ever hitting the varsity. I'm not saying that you do that for your children, but I'm saying that help find out what works for them. When it comes for education, you'll be happier. You will save yourself from a lot of stress of trying to make them a doctor when they cannot put their mind around being a doctor. Help them figure out what they're good at. But let them know that they have to make some money, and it'll be what kind of money they'll make. That's what you got to decide. They need to know very early that if you take this route, this is the money you're going to make. Yeah. Look at that.
Hey, Mom.
Oh, you're back.
Rehearsal's cancelled. Miss Lily's down with the flu. I topped in all the subjects, Mom. Algebra, geometry, physics, chem, bio, history, English, geography.
Great. And Hindi?
Lost out in Hindi just by 2 marks, Mom. Hey, Inu, what about you? Wow, you've almost cracked it.
Ishan, finish your home.
Next slide. Okay. Did you see what happened there? He came home and he's done so well. Okay? He was talking to his dad. He's a clever kid. He's definitely not his type. And the mother is busy asking, his brother just asked casually, What about you? He didn't want to even say about, and he just started blowing his bubbles. And the dog, he ran out. So he has no perspective. He's not a structured kid at all. Gets distracted very easily. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So you don't want to crush the spirit of your child. Remember what I said? The idea is not to break the spirit, it's to channel it. Don't break them up. Channel them. Get to know what they're good at. Because these children are so different. If you try to make them like the child that fuses, they're not that child. You're going to have fights and conflicts forever. So channel that. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Don't crush the spirit of your child. Channel it. Don't break the spirit. Channel that spirit. That's what they need to leave. If you go and check the root word of spirit in the Bible, it's the will of a person of wanting to leave. In other words, I could simply die by willing myself to death. I could do that. Or I can fight and stay. Don't kill it. Find a way to channel the different children's, the different personalities you have in the house, and bring them to a place of godliness. Watch this and see what happens.
Why did you send them away? Why?
We had no other option. Last year he failed in grade 3. Can you believe it? Grade 3. And no sign of any improvement. My older son stands first in every subject, in every class. But that fellow?
What do you think his problem could be?
Problem? His attitude. What else? Towards his studies, towards everything in life. He is mischievous, disobedient, rebellious, doesn't listen to a word we say.
I am asking you what his problem is, but you are telling me his symptoms. You are telling me the child has fever. I know that. But the fever must have a cause. What is that cause?
Alright, then you tell us.
Okay, let's play the next clip. Next clip, let's play it and you'll see what happens. Play the next clip. Yeah, next clip. Let's go to the next one.
Would you read this, please, Mr. Rosti?
How can I read this? It's in Chinese.
At least give it a try. Come on, concentrate.
What nonsense? How do you expect me to read
this? Look, you're misbehaving now. Your attitude is all wrong. You're being naughty.
Okay, good. Did you get it? How was the father behaving the first time about his child? How did he talk about his child the first time? The child was the problem, right? The second time, the teacher is trying to help him. And he can't get it, so he tells him, you read Chinese. And that's exactly what's happened to his son. He can't read. Everything is moving. Then when he tries to say anything, he says, you're behaving badly. And you've got to figure out why some kids just don't do well. What? You've got to figure that out. Don't be quick to say he has a bad attitude. He has a bad attitude. Those are symptoms. That's what the teacher keeps telling. That's the symptoms. I'm asking, what's the problem? He has a bad attitude. Those are symptoms. Spend some money and figure out what's really going on with the child. If you need to visit somebody that is a specialist with understanding child psychology and all that stuff, figure that out and you begin to come to a place of peace with your child. Make sense? If you look at his face, finally, it begins to click. If you watch the movie, it's amazing. He gets the boy to boarding school, but he's just reacting. He's trying to push away the problem, but he never gets to the solution. Totally. So, here it is. So, parents often do not pay attention to non-verbals from our children. Just lecturing. And that's what the father wasn't doing. He was just lecturing. Body and what's going on with this child? And I think sometimes this is where your grandmother, the grandmothers play a big role, or the grandfather. They can look at the child from and like, "Where are you doing this wrong? Let's help you with this one." So that's where it comes in. Let me come here. So it's important. Empathy is putting yourself in another person's shoes. That's what the teacher was trying to do. So sometimes you're lecturing and you're not understanding what's going on. Child, mommy, I am tired. Mom, you couldn't be tired. You just napped. This is an example of us not listening. Child, louder. But I'm tired. Mom, you're not tired. You're just a little sleepy. Let's get dressed. Child wailing, no, I am tired. What's happening? No validation, no empathy, and the child keeps yelling, and you think you're being rude now. Stop shouting. Child, that TV show was boring. Dad, no, it wasn't. It was very interesting. Child, it wasn't. It was stupid. Dad, it was educational. Child, it stank. Dad, don't talk that way. What do you think should be happening?
Dialogue.
Why is that? What's going on? What part do you think was boring? Sorry? It's true, but you're also trying to teach them. They're entitled to their opinion, but you're trying to shape them as well. So it's true. You let them be entitled. I'm not saying no, they should be, but you're trying to mold. So to mold that, you have to have a conversation. Yeah. Yes, Kevin. Acknowledge what they're saying and work through that. You can influence people when they know that you're listening. And the same thing with children. Ways of teaching children empathy. Model it for them by being good listener. If we just listen to our children, I think it'll work. Listening doesn't mean you agree with them. It's you figure out what's going on with a child. Listening gives you an eye into their world and say, what's really going on? Then you can just start addressing that stuff. If you don't listen, you're just shouting and yelling and you're not walking. Talk about how others would feel about our action. Help them by saying, when you talk to me like that, this is how I feel, disrespected. This is, how would you feel if we talked about that? And they begin to connect feeling. When kids connect feeling to things, they start changing. Okay, visit the less fortunate people in our church. All ministries have adopted a project. In other words, in Singapore, they've done that. They adopted less fortunate people. One thing about our children is they're growing up very entitled. They don't see poor people enough. We've got to start taking our children to poor places or serve poor people. I'm really thinking about it right now. I was talking to the elders about just getting someone that can help us to organize our family groups to take our children to serve poor people. It helps the child to see that stuff. Because they grow up thinking everything, they don't know how electricity comes, they don't know how water is paid for, they just get in a car, they have shoes, they eat food. They think, what's wrong with you? You don't get it, Dad. They're like, I get it. I work hard to do this work for you. You don't get it, ma'am. You have to help them to see there's a poor side. If you don't work hard at it, it's going to come at you. So it's important to let the children see that side as well. Feel for the poor. I mean, there's one of these advertisements that brings on TV with children with clefts. I let my kids see that, and you'll be amazed. Steffi says, I want to give money to those children. I'm like, yeah, that's a good thing. Let's figure out how you can donate money to that. Because it's sensible that they're not just thinking about them. And today's children can take you over. They can take over your wall, and you're like, they just think about themselves. But show them how to give about other people as well. Have that in your family setup where you go and serve people. Visit the sick with them. Things that we can do together. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Help our children do that. Watch what they're watching on TV. Watch the kind of... you give them phones, make sure you have some protection on that. Watch all that stuff. Tablets, watch all that stuff so that you're making sure there's protection. There are many ways you can do that. And let's discuss what protection can I put so that they're not getting to these sites. And then your watch so they're not getting polluted with the world. Are we together on this? We've got to work on this together. Find ways to protect your children. Talk to them about it. You've got to help them see that. What is the biggest challenge about millennials, Warren, and children of today? It was five things: parenting, technology, impatience, and I can't remember the fourth thing. But the parenting is that we give everything to our children without even working for it. Technology is that it's so ahead that we are not aware of what it's doing to our children's brain and when they spend too much time on it. So we need to understand that, and that brings impatience in them. Then we get angry and upset with our children. That we've got to moderate that and teach that well. So how much time do they spend on this equipment? It reshapes their brains and all that. Think about all that and come up with a culture that works for your family. I will not tell you exactly what, but think through that. Amen? Any questions so far? Okay, moving on. Take this visitation seriously. They are about once a month at the most. Take your children with you. Talk about your visits afterwards as a family. As a family, get in the habit of talking about what you're learning, talking about their goals, talking about how did that affect them. Ask your children, what's your goal? Now be careful, if you ask that question, they're going to ask you the same question, what's your goal? So whenever I'm going in there with what's your goal, I better be ready. I'm like, okay, what's that? Dad, what's your goal? Because there's one that makes sure I answer that question. What's your goal, Dad? I said, okay, that's my goal. What are you going to do about it? And you cannot be, if you start fudging around, they can tell that Dad is just doing this for us. He's fudging around. This is not the real deal. You've got to put your heart into it. If your mom put your heart into it, as a mom put your heart into it, what's your goal? Ask them questions. How did it affect you when you saw poor people? What do you think about that? Put your heart into these things and you'll see that it affects the child. So it's a culture you're building. It's not a one-time thing. It's a culture you're building in your family. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as a brother, and be compassionate and humble. We're going to teach our children humility. It's not coming easy anymore right now. Kids talk back to you sometimes in a very disrespectful way. Teach that. Model that. Tell them how that looks like. Talk about it. All right? Compassionate, sympathetic. That's why you need to go to these spaces.
Being home by 6 in the morning, where does the hour go in daylight saving? Daddy, do I look more like you or mommy? Daddy, do you think she'll ever come back?
Paul McCartney lost his mother when he was little, and John Lennon lost his mother when he was little, and Annie says that sometimes God picks just the special people. That's what Annie says.
Daddy, did God mean for you to be like this, or was it an accident?
Okay, what do you mean?
I mean you're different.
But what do you mean?
You're not like other daddies.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay, Daddy. It's okay. Don't be sorry. I'm lucky. Nobody else's daddy ever comes to the park.
All right. It's a moving one, right? Have you watched this movie? Do you know why she's saying you're not like other daddies? Why is she saying that? What did she say at the end? I know it was very soft. Because other daddies she goes with him and he swings with her on the path. It's amazing what that does for that child, and the mother died. He's forced to come. You got to watch it. It's a good movie. And he talks about it, and what she was saying, it's not that. Yeah, he has some challenges, but that was not the issue. The issue was that he comes and plays with her in the park and nobody else goes there. And I think that that's what we got to understand. Is that children connect to those things. They notice those things. Now, he has to do more because he's a single father now. Now, I guess that's the same for us. Single mothers, single fathers, you got to do more because you can't share. It's just there's much more responsibility, and we got to take up, those of us who are there, we got to really take advantage as well. But in this clip, what it simply shows is that you've got to connect with your child. What do you think about that conversation? The little girl was sensitive to her dad. Yes, Tommy? Yeah, almost like. And as they grow, that happens to us. Your teenager girl, your preteen girl will start asking you things that you're not very comfortable sometimes talk about. So if you're not in touch, it's going to... Don't make that a quarreling time. Have a time to have a conversation. Yes? They were very raw and real. You want those moments. These kids are going to turn 18 and they're gone. What will you have? What memories will you have? I know some of you, they're all gone, so I hope you have good memories. But for those of us who still have them, you want to connect and talk about this stuff. Yes. Yeah, he was assuming one thing, but really he loved the fact that he showed up. Yes, Barry. Yeah. And look at how it turns out. As your children grow, you've got to help them to be human beings. Not just, you're a perfect dad, you're a perfect mom. We make mistakes. Have conversations. Apologize. I mean, I have had to apologize many times. I'm sorry, man. Did I raise my voice? Yeah, you raised my voice. Before, I'm like, what are you talking about? Then it took like a few hours before I said, I'm sorry. But now I'm trying to say quickly, like, hey, I'm sorry about that stuff. One hand was going up there? Okay. So, today we've talked about this, and I want to know any questions around it. We have 2 minutes. You may want to leave after that, but I want to take 2 minutes. Any questions? Is this helping? If you have any challenges, please don't hesitate to talk about it. Understand, it's not to make you guilty, it's to make you aware. I.e., if you're on a highway and you're 285 and you're trying to make a left and you know there's a car over here, now you know you can't just make that, right? You're thinking. And so the whole idea is to make you aware. Some of us, our children left a long time, so you're just a grandmother or a grandfather. So your gig in this is to know much and you can help your kids as they're raising theirs. You'll be the grandmother that says, you know, I learned some stuff. I could help you with that. You'll be that person. So that is this one. For some of us, your kids are young. Some of us don't have them, but you're hoping that God brings them. And in time, all that works. So it's not to make you guilty. It's not to tell you that you did a bad job. For those of us whose children have left, it's simply to be aware that there's much more that you can learn and do different. Does that make sense? Here's the deal. God makes kids turn out right anyway, even with all our iniquities. You may not have known all this stuff and your kids turn up right. And sometimes you can do everything right and they still behave funny. You understand that? Do your best. Don't measure your parenting by how they turn out. Give that to God. But do your best while they're within your hands. If they don't come around, bless them and love them for how they became. But let them know that they're loved, and the rest, God will do the rest. Does that make sense? All right, we are free. Let's have a good time of fellowship.